Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yo, what's up, listeners? Welcome to another episode of Thinking Outside the Boombox, your number one source for hip-hop and R&B news. My name is Ahmad, and I am your host. It is Sunday, April 3rd. Welcome to Thinking Outside the Boombox. I'm very excited to be back with you. As I mentioned last week, now that we're in kind of the latter half of the final season of Thinking Outside the Boombox, the episodes will be a lot more frequent. So I think, don't hold me to this, but I think I'll be coming at you with an episode every single week from now until the end of the series, or to the end of the podcast in general. So I think it should be ending close to the end of May, and I think I got an episode for you every week. So this week in the Dig Deeper segment, I've got some more guests here in the studio for the farewell tour. So this is the fourth stop on my farewell tour. So I've got some guests in the studio who brought a topic for us to discuss. And we're going to get into that in the Dig Deeper segment. But before that, I just want to talk to you about the podcast newsletter. I'm not going to hit you with a song of the week in the press play segment on the podcast this week, just because I want to jump right into the conversation with our guests. But I do still have a song of the week for you, and I do still have the press play segment as far as songs, music videos, performances that you should check out, albums that you should check out. So the links to all of that stuff will be in the podcast newsletter. If you go to thinkingoutsidetheboombox.com, right on the homepage, there's a place where you can put in your email address. If you do that, you'll get the podcast newsletter in your inbox every time there's an episode. Or you can go to the newsletter tab and all of the podcast newsletters will be there. So definitely sign up for the mailing list, check out the podcast newsletter so you can check out all the albums. I want you to check out the links to the songs and stuff like that. So without any further ado, let's jump into the Dig Deeper segment and introduce the guests for the episode. Welcome back to Thinking Outside the Boombox. It is now time for the Dig Deeper segment. As I mentioned at the top of the episode, this is the farewell tour, part four. As you know, for the final season of Thinking Outside the Boombox, I've been doing these farewell tour episodes where I bring back guests that I've had on the show in the past. And this time they bring the topic that we talk about within hip hop and R&B. And then we just have a free-flowing conversation about it. So this is the fourth stop on the Farewell Tour, and I'm very excited to introduce Devin and Catherine. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, hello.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Devin, this is your, I want to say, second or third episode on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Catherine, this is your first.
Yeah. It is.
Welcome aboard. So why don't you all introduce the topic that you brought to the show?
Cool. Yeah. So one thing that we've noticed a lot of over the last, I mean, really, I say 10 years. I mean, it's always kind of been there, but I say especially the last 10 years that I feel like the woman's presence has really expanded in hip hop. So one of the things we wanted to talk about is women's presence in hip hop and really how that's impactful, how it's impacted the entire genre. But then also, you know, we can have our rankings. We can talk through the top five if we must. But ultimately, we just kind of wanted to you know, shine a spotlight.
I love it. I love it. So I compiled a very, very brief history of women in hip hop kind of leading up to the artists we're going to discuss today. So I'll go through that. So, you know, hip hop in general was born out of a community of underrepresented, marginalized individuals who were choosing to express themselves in new ways, tell their stories through music. Male and female artists alike used music to craft flows, rhyme schemes, tell stories. But just like the music industry and society at large, women and their contributions were marginalized and hip hop became a boys' club. The themes that hip hop kind of centered around were violence, sex, masculinity, misogyny, especially getting into like the 80s and the 90s portion of hip hop. And that kind of made things even more contentious between the men and women in hip hop. And it's been an uphill battle for women since hip hop's inception. Despite this, many female artists paved the way for today's generation and found ways to stand out, make names for themselves, despite having to work even harder to get noticed. There were so many pioneers, so many firsts. You got MC Light, Queen Latifah, Lady of Rage, Da Brat. Fast forward to Foxy Brown, Lauryn Hill, Lil' Kim. Then you got Trina, Eve, Missy Elliott. All of these artists set precedents and paved the way for the artists we're talking about today. Whether it was choosing not to be classified and limited by their sexuality, or embracing their sexuality, or letting their talent speak for itself, we wouldn't have a Cardi B, we wouldn't have a Nicki Minaj without the women that came before them, the women I mentioned, and so much more.
Facts.
So, I know you all mentioned that you have some tiers for the five specific artists that we're discussing today. Why don't you run through that, and then we can start talking about them.
Sure, yeah.
So we wanted to speak broadly about Cardi B, Nicki Minaj, Megan Thee Stallion, City Girls, and Bia.
Mm-hmm.
And that really came from a lot of collaborations that we were noticing between those artists. Like when we were looking just at Megan Thee Stallion's some of her awards and recognitions, a lot of them have come from features that she's done with other prominent female artists.
Mm-hmm.
And so really digging into like what that camaraderie was is how we narrowed it down to these five. It is by no means the top five. And we wanted to create these tiers to sort of like parse out the different levels of accomplishment that these different women have or represent within the industry, because like just because their current singles or features are entangled doesn't necessarily project their overall accomplishment. So
right.
We had City Girls and Bia on a similar level in that we're really excited to hear more from them moving forward. Like we're excited to continue to see what they do, but they were at a different level from Megan Thee Stallion, who's in this sort of in-between level on her own right now. She's got both mixtapes and now albums under her belt. She's winning awards at a different level, right? But she sort of has this, from where I see it, pivotal moment, right? Because if she's going to elevate to where Cardi and Nicki are, she's got some choices to make, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Cardi and Nicki both got there, but they stayed there by going a little bit pop, right? Yes. Like, yeah. Cardi got songs with Maroon 5. Like, and Megan sort of really seems to anchor herself further and further in each release into this, no, this is my hip hop image. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sort of excited because those three, Cardi, Megan, and Nicki, all independently broke records that were only held by Lauryn Hill. So like, yes, in that regard, they're still in there in the same way. Like they're hanging together there in that regard. But I think Megan as a younger artist isn't, well, she's not much different than Cardi as far as age, but like she's sort of at this pivotal moment where she decides like, do I continue to ride what I have produced? Mm-hmm. And focus more on features, which Cardi has done really well and has found much success with, mm-hmm, or do I pave this other path and like take a little bit more risk, I think. Because I think Nicki played a really pivotal role, and I'm going to say this and be done with the brackets, I guess, but Nicki played a really big bridging role, I feel, mm-hmm, in her music. I think that had there not been a Nicki Minaj, there would not be space in the same regard for Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion to exist peacefully together, to put out magic like WAP, I don't, mm-hmm, think would have been possible without Nicki holding the spot for as long as she did for more rappers to come along. So
exactly,
that's sort of the root of these brackets. They're not hard and fast. We can leave this pod and you have me completely different feeling, but it was mostly based on experience, but they were linked together because of this camaraderie that I think Nicki is still able to be a part of through her features in a really nice way, even though she and Cardi had a rocky start as far as that, like who can hold the spot at the same time. Mm-hmm.
I like that. I really like that. So to start, do you want to go from the bottom tier up, or do you want to start big and then work our way down to like City Girls and Bia?
I mean, I feel like we can get the City Girls and Bia argument out the way. I told you before we even jumped on that I had some feelings and opinions about Bia. Really had City Girls, but
all right. So let's go bottom up then.
Okay.
And I do, to speak to what you said a little, Catherine, I do like choosing these particular five because of course there are like other artists in today's hip hop age, other female artists who are thriving, like Rhapsody, Tierra Whack, doing different things. But I do think when it comes to success and impact and like having like kind of the culture at the palm of their hand, like I do think at this current moment, like these five are a good representation of that. So let's start with Bia, because I wrote this down. I was like, Bia is definitely the artist I knew the least about, like out of these five going into it. Like I knew that she had the Whole Lot of Money song. Mm-hmm. And that was basically only because Nicki had hopped on it that I knew about that.
Yep.
So like, I didn't know anything about like how long she'd been in the game. Apparently she was on like a TV show, a reality TV show on the Oxygen Network that was about, mm-hmm, female rappers and hip hop. What's it called? Sisterhood of Hip Hop.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it, but it's about following five female rappers as they navigate a male dominated industry. And I was like, hey, that show kind of sound kind of tight. I'm about to watch that. It's on NBC or something now. Like the three seasons are like on the app.
Okay.
But she did that. She signed to Pharrell's label, I Am Other. Yep. She released that was, you know, some singles. What'd you say?
So that was the biggest surprise for me, was finding she was signed to Pharrell's label.
Yeah.
Especially with that type of a sound. But I mean, I enjoy it. I was telling Catherine, we were listening to it earlier, I feel like every beat on that album for certain went hard. Uh-huh. Like every one of them. Her lyrically, they may not always be there. Her approach to the lyrics may not always be there. But that's also something that I feel like comes with time. But I was like, yo, these beats are where it's at. I can definitely see that, like, there's a lot of creative energy behind it. It's not the same as, yes, like, Boom Bad. It's not the same, you know, like, it has a lot more thought behind it than I felt like I was seeing in a lot of other hip hop and a lot of other artists that I haven't seen around the same time.
Yeah, I agree. And I also like that, kind of in the past, like 5 to 7 years, we've seen like a lot more collaboration and support among the top female hip hop artists. Cause like back in the early 2000s, like when like Eve and like Trina was around, like you weren't really seeing a lot of like female rapper posse cuts or like them hopping on songs and like really supporting each other outwardly through the music. You didn't really see that a lot. But like, as you mentioned earlier, like they hopping on each other's songs all the time now. And the fact that Bia really got noticed because Nicki gave her a feature, which she doesn't do to too many people.
Right.
Like that's big that they're like supporting each other and helping to push them all forward in that way. I do like that about Bia as well.
I think that's how, from what I understand, like I didn't know as much about Bia either. This mostly started because one of us believed that Bia lyrically was not going to cut it after A Whole Lot of Money.
Oh, and got you.
There wasn't, like, this was a single and there wasn't much heat like for an album or anything like that. And so the research behind it was like, oh, wow, hold on. She's been out for a while. Like,
right.
Hold on. She released this and the remix is what got A Whole Lot of Money popping. Right. Like that was actually really interesting because when I listened to her, I really like her sound. Mm-hmm. And it was surprising to me that another female rapper was the one that said like, yo, like we need to get this going. But in the same way, and I won't get too far ahead of ourselves, Megan's remix to Savage with Beyonce is what topped the chart. And I liked A Whole Lot of Money before Nicki hopped on it. I liked Savage before Beyonce jumped on it. But I think their presence is what's elevating and making other women known. And I think that feels like a chess move. Like that's not stickers. And I love that piece of it. And I love that Bia is even being mentioned on this podcast right now because someone thought enough to make that chess move.
Yep. Yep. And yeah, and it kind of like that kind of vibe and that energy kind of resonates through all of the artists that we're talking about. Like with WAP, like that's one of, along with Savage, that's one of Megan's like biggest songs now. And that's because Cardi was like, yo, I got to get Megan on this. We got to do this together.
Yeah.
And that's really specifically, not to jump ahead, what I really love about Cardi in particular, because from the beginning, she's been like, yo, it's crazy that I'm here, but I'm here. And while I'm here, we all gonna go together. Like, I'm a ride for all of y'all. And that's just how authentic she is and like how she is continually pushing other artists forward is like why I'm always going to be a huge fan of Cardi B, regardless of anything else.
Absolutely.
Really a binder. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so shout out to Bia. I know she still hasn't even released a debut album. She's still kind of riding the wave of like all of the buzz from the remix and all of that. I know she released like an EP or whatnot. So hopefully she gets some fire features on her next project. She keep being creative, and I think we'll continue to hear about her for a little bit longer for sure.
I think so. Yeah. I'm hoping, like you said, that hoping the wave from A Whole Lot of Money is enough. Because again, I think that that just brought more exposure to the EP. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. What about City Girls? How do y'all feel about City Girls?
I'll be honest. City Girls is the one I know the least about, but we were listening to their music today. And I feel like it's a very similar thing. Like, I feel like there is a lot there, but it's just going to take time for them to continue to evolve and build and grow, because I would hate for them to get stuck into a type of sound. You know what I mean? Like, I hate
them
stuck in a sound and they fail to evolve, because, I mean, it's hard to rock with somebody when you've been listening to the same old same or the same types of lyrics and the same types of verses the entire time. Like, you know, I feel like it reminds me of like an early Wayne. Like, you know, there was a point where I feel like between like 2010 and maybe 2016 where Wayne was kind of doing the same old same. And sit down and go reflect on that for a while and like figure it out. So like, I hope they don't get stuck in the sound. I hope they continue to push the envelope and continue to push and try to make things different. And you can see that by them doing stuff. I don't know if you watched the video we were watching earlier today for Twerculator. By Missy Elliott. And like, even that is enough, that something like that is enough for me to show me that there is enough creative energy behind this. You know what I mean? That is going to push them in a different direction than what they started out as. They got to grow.
Mm-hmm. And yet another instance of support with Missy Elliott, like directing the video.
Period.
Like, the exposure they got, even though they were already big when this came out, but like the added exposure they got with like one Missy Elliott being a just like video goddess, like anything with Missy Elliott and video in the same sentence, I'm checking it out. Like, it don't matter what it is, I'm watching. So that alone brought so many eyes to that music video to a music video that might have just been pushed into the void and like their fans heard it, but not too many other people heard it. Mm-hmm. But because of that, like, they got so many more people just like listening to that song and seeing the video just because of the Missy cosign.
Yeah.
So another dope thing.
Yeah.
What about you, Catherine? How you feel about City Girls?
I think they're in a really good spot. I think they're pretty solid in this category of I'm excited to see what's next. Because in addition to Missy Elliott being involved with that music video, they were on Good News with Megan Thee Stallion,
mm-hmm.
right? And they have a song with Cardi B. Like, they're, I think, cementing themselves in this group
mm-hmm.
to be around for a while. They're not, I don't think they're like producing as fast as some other folks.
Yes.
Like, you don't see them on every feature, but I think that also sort of comes with the nature of there being two of them. And I think they're moving well, in my opinion, for there to be two of them and for them mm-hmm. to remain City Girls and not this be a launching pad for just one of their careers.
Yes.
And it seems like they're careful in that. And I like that this is still, I still see a future for City Girls. Now, we might listen to this in 10 years and I'd be like, dang, sorry.
Right.
But, you know, it does seem like they're together establishing themselves in these ranks. And I'm really excited to see how they continue to do that, because I do think that for a while that was their niche. Like, they were different because there were just two. Like,
mm-hmm.
so I'm really excited to see what comes next. I love the collaborations that they've had so far, particularly. And there are some folks where I'm like, all right, I'm excited to hear you. Like, enough with the features. But with City Girls, I really feel like they're good. They really enhance the features, like, when they mm-hmm. are there with other folks.
Yeah. And I think it was a real testament, the fact that, you know, they had released their very first single. And then, like, 6 months after that, JT went to jail. And she was in jail for, like, almost 2 years. And the fact that, now, one, I guess that they like still managed to like make music during that period, but that they were like, all right, you in jail for like 2 years. We was just getting ready to like get on our grind and get on our rise. Let's just keep going. And they just like put out a mixtape, mm-hmm. put out their debut album while she was still in jail. And it's just like, and people really, we was like, yo, we gonna wait around for y'all to be at full strength so that we can keep this going. And so that was a testament that they didn't even fall off. Like, when JT was in prison, I was like, oh, okay, they got something.
Yeah.
As far as like their music specifically for me, I'm not their target demographic. You know what I mean? Like, when they rapping, they ain't talking to me. They ain't talking about me. So, a full album from them is usually just like, okay, there's like a couple tracks, like Act Up. It's like, yo, this my joint. Like, I listen to that all the time, but like a whole project is just not for me. But like, I see where they're going, and I see, you know, their uncompromising attitude, their catalog of club anthems, the women empowerment anthems, mm-hmm. the support from all the other artists. Like, they're gonna be all right, and I can see how they are where they are, you know?
Yeah. And I think it even goes back. I mean, you, like we were saying as well, like, as part of that growth is going to mean them finding ways to break into other markets, finding ways mm-hmm. to break. And you can see them starting to do it by jumping on tracks with Doja Cat. Like, I feel like that brings them, yes, it's hip hop, but like, we all know Doja kind of sits in that hip hop/pop arena. So yes. She is going to, hopefully they'll be able to adopt a bigger audience in that regard. I was looking it up just a second ago to see like some of their awards, and they've won a few awards in like for the BET Awards, like, which again is a specific market. So it's like looking at that. And then from there, I think I've seen that they have won, I think it's a BBMA or something like that award.
Oh, okay.
Other awards that they have won. It's like, okay, now you can start to see the levels of them either jumping on with other people and hopefully that influencing their music to allow them to be like, okay, we can go do a country track and still, it can still be, we can still have people twerking and still have people, you know, turning up, because country right. is just as prevalent in a lot of the communities that we're talking about. Like if we're looking at the regions that she's talking about, like if I'm not, are they from, they're from the South, right? If I'm not mistaken. I can't remember where from.
City Girls?
Yeah.
They're from Miami.
Miami. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So like, I feel like that brings a certain culture and a certain vibe. And right now that's who they're speaking to. And I want to see them continue to speak to more people because it's just only going to help them, you know, being able to cross over into those other genres.
Completely agree. Do you all have any other favorite songs from City Girls besides Act Up?
So you may have more than I do. I think you, I'm like you, that's, I'm not their target audience by any means. A few of their songs, I think will have me, you know how you show the bop on a cake.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
I'm trying to think. I know Act, I mean, like you said, Act Up is probably the most prevalent one right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is sort of jumping ahead, but
bring it back.
Do It On The Tip is Megan's song that City Girls were on.
Got you.
When they hopped on, bruh, it was like butter. Like, it was just so smooth. Like, I could just go back and just replay that part of the song.
Yeah.
And that was the one where I'm like, pause. I need to do more research. Which one was this? Who was this? Like, what is happening? And that song, like, I can just listen to over and over and over again as one of my favorites. You know, like, I tell you every time, you know, we talk about your Academy vote that I would probably be, you know, just very basic. And, you know, you would have to be okay with that. And in that regard, you know, Flute Out is definitely still, like, has a place in my heart.
Okay.
That's one of their songs that I definitely mess with, too. You know.
I'm saving all of these so I can let them to them again.
I think, honestly, I feel like you brought up a good point, though, even in just what you were saying. Like, as you were going through the songs, you even brought it up, Do It On The Tip. Like, yes, that's Megan's song. But, like, even as I'm looking through, honestly, a lot of the songs that I feel like speak to me are the ones that are typically have a feature or where they're featured.
Yes.
Featuring with someone else. Like, there's so many of the songs. I'm like, okay, like, I remember this song. Oh, no, that one definitely hits. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that wasn't them. Oh, I didn't even realize they were on there. Like, there's a couple of times on here. I'm like, yo. A&T, for example, by 21 Savage, says something by Moneybagg Yo, like those songs where they featured. That's where I'm like, okay, keep doing that feature thing because I want that to influence your music. I want you to bring all of that and be like, ooh, now I'm going to throw this vibe on it. Ooh, now I'm going to do this. And it's still going to hit. It's still going to continue to help y'all rise. So, yeah, I can see it. It's on the way. It's definitely, you can see it, you know, brewing essentially. It's just, you know, give it time.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, Do It On A Tip is a perfect segue into our next tier, Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah.
League of Her Own.
Megan's so good. She came into the game when hip hop had kind of begun to relax its stance that like women in hip hop needed to compete against each other head to head for the top spot. Like we had after the Nicki Cardi stuff, which we'll get into. Like I think hip hop as a whole was like, all right, maybe we can coexist. Maybe it doesn't have to be like this.
Right.
And so Megan and City Girls, they kind of came in at the same time. They kind of like slid in at that moment where it's like, we don't need to compare them to each other. We can just enjoy them for what they give. And, you know, Megan came in influenced by Southern artists like Pimp C, 3-6 Mafia. She had unwavering confidence in herself, in her sexuality. She was rapping her ass off with crazy flows. Her delivery was ironclad. She had anthem after anthem, celebrating women, bucking back against ancient men. Like, she was easy to root for.
Yeah.
She was doing numbers. She got her two number one songs, like we mentioned, with the help of Beyonce and Cardi. She got 3 Grammys already. I think the Grammys are happening tomorrow. She's nominated for 2 more. Like, she's carved her own lane of success. proven herself to be possibly the best rapper in her city right now. Mm-hmm. And she's also been a role model for so many women, especially after she went back to school while being a whole ass rapper. And she was like, you know what? I told my, I forget who it was, somebody in her family, maybe her grandma or something. She was like, I told her I was going to go back to school, get my bachelor's. So she did. She went and got a bachelor's of science in health administration. Like, that's wild. That's wild being a whole ass rapper and doing that. But Megan's too dope. And I love that she's also been like a very welcoming presence for women in hip hop, and that she's also trying to support people. She just seems like a really, really nice woman. So, how do you all feel about Megan?
I mean, Megan is a household staple around here. Megan. I don't know. And it's honestly, I feel like it probably coincided more so with us moving to Texas, like Megan's rise. But it just seems like Megan is a way bigger deal down here than anywhere else. And it's like,
oh, I bet.
Well, anytime on the radio, like, you're always going to hear some Megan that comes on along the way. And like you said, I mean, I hadn't heard a there wasn't a female rapper that had been able to attack a verse in the way that she was doing.
Yes.
That, like that for me, but in a way that I felt like I could spit to also, not kind of like in a direct competition to what we were just saying about City Girls. They don't make music for me. I don't feel like Megan makes music for me, but Megan definitely makes music that I know all the lyrics to. I know how to get the beat going to drop, you know what I mean? Because I feel like it's more, in her regard, it's been more so about just honestly spitting the hot shit. And I feel like she does a really good job of it. I feel like she's very talented. And also, as we can see with her just recent degree, she's smart.
Right.
I feel like that really is the recipe right there. If you can get a rapper that's also smart, they will continue to grow and rise and be successful and have a great career. And I feel like she's only at the beginning of that, considering how much she's collaborating. Like, that's my favorite part of it, is knowing, like, every time, you know, something Megan come out, it's like, yo, who gonna be on the track with her? Cause anytime she's doing it, like, it's just, there's always some type of intentionality behind it. It's creative as fuck.
Yeah.
It's gonna pop.
Yeah. What about you, Catherine?
You know, I have a lot of respect for Megan Thee Stallion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so much respect for what she is doing. Like, I feel like the persistence that she has demonstrated is just next level. She... Mm-hmm. has carved out a space for herself without stepping necessarily on any other female rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
You feel like she stepped on a couple people that needed to get stepped on, you know, who needed to be put back in their place.
Uh-huh.
But like, I feel like Megan forces me out of sort of that basic brand that I was like very committed to being okay with, because when, for example, Shots Fired came out, I was like, I mean, okay, yeah, this is a bop. Like, what else? Like, this was just the intro, you know, for her album. And then I learned the history behind it and that beat. And I was like, oh, I wonder if she, like, does this other times. And there are just so many nods to, like, the fact that she also grew up in hip-hop, you know? Like, I don't feel like she relies as heavy on, like, the name dropping as much as, like, when you listen to her flows, when you listen to what she's spitting, like, she knows the history. She is someone that has a very deep respect for what she is contributing to. And I think that's why what she puts out is so fire. Like,
yeah,
we don't have to talk about the bridge to Cardi and that bracket just yet. But with WAP, that wasn't guaranteed airtime. The song itself was a risk.
Yeah.
And it went hard. Like, that alone, that level of risk, but with the collaboration and you know, foundation of another person's fan base to be like, no, this will go hard because we both will make it so, and we're going to like carve out this space for this to be all right, and for anybody to question it, to have to sit there in the mirror and discuss exactly why this is inappropriate for us to do, but not for us to be a feature on for somebody else. Like,
yeah.
And I think that the level that Megan does that through history, like the way that she's able to bring it across time through some of her beats, through some of her nods and her lyrics and her flows, but also just such a realness where I'm watching an anime and I'm like, oh, I knew that because of a Megan lyric. Like, what? didn't know that that was a real character in the anime. Like, she still seems very true to herself.
Yes.
So deeply aware of what she's committing and contributing to the culture. And that's why I feel like she's at this such a pivotal place in her career. Because if anybody could do it and go hip hop all the way to the top and stay there, I do think it would be Megan. But I mean, there are so many paths ahead of her. And I'm so excited for her to be able to do this. I just really hope, genuinely, that she doesn't just drop off the face of the earth and is like working in some hospital in Houston. Like, all right, y'all, that was real. Don't use this healthcare administration degree. Because like, I'm really excited. Like, she is just a tier above that. I'm excited for what's next. Like, if I had to be cut off from all Megan music for the rest of time, like, I would be okay with what I have already, but I would know, sort of like Lauryn Hill, that I was waiting for more. Like, she was at that peak of greatness. So those are, in short, my feelings. I am a huge Megan fan. One of my friends gave me my birthday present, like, wrapped in Megan's magazine photo shoot. She like tore it out from the magazine and wrapped with it.
That's dope.
But yeah, like, I just, it's just a deep respect, you know?
Yeah. And I like what you said earlier about how she's in a nice pivotal place where she wants to kind of get to Cardi and Nicki. She might have to make some decisions about, like, all right, you want to go a little bit more pop. And, you know, I have seen her do that a little bit. Like, I think she's trying to make those decisions. She has, I never really, like, listened to this song too much, but I know it was a big deal because everybody loves that BTS group. And she hopped on the remix of their song. I think it's called Butter or something like that. And everybody was like, that's a big deal, big crossover deal. I know she just released a song with like Dua Lipa or somebody like last week or something. So I think I like that because I do think that she is starting to think that way. And she's like, all right, I got, you know, I got some Grammys. I got some success. Like, if I want to keep going, keep reaching the next level, like, what do I have to do? So I like that she's thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just seems like an investment in long-term consistency, you know?
Yeah. I feel like the path forward for Megan is, like, hopefully not burnout. That's where she's a little akin to Lauryn Hill. Like, at this point, like, hopefully not burnout. Does it include some pop or the million other options that she will carve out or create for herself? And I think that's what is the most exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
All right, let's jump to the next tier. We got Nicki and Cardi, and I actually want to let's talk about Nicki first, because I like talking about Cardi, kind of in reference to Nicki and like some of the ways their careers have panned out. So I want to start with Nicki, and then we can go to Cardi. How do you all feel about Nicki Minaj? She's a prolific figure in hip hop at this point, and there are a lot of opinions about her in many different ways. So I'm curious how you all feel about her.
You know, I've got a lot of feelings about Nicki Minaj, because when Nicki Minaj came out, like, I wanted to be such a fan. And for a long time, I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to what Devin was saying earlier, I think part of what I have, I still have plenty of respect for Nicki Minaj, but I think one of the small challenges that I have is that I don't feel like she continued to evolve. Like, I can count on a very basic rhyme scheme from Nicki Minaj, even like on features, like we gonna rhyme tape with tape and we gonna tape like that, you know what I'm saying? But like her lyrics are still very, you know, like hard, like she says her message gets across, but the way that, like, I'm gonna just try to throw out a year, like the way that like 2011 Catherine was excited about Nicki Minaj is not I could say that I am in 2022. You know what I'm saying? I was really hoping for her to have evolved a little bit more in maintaining that spot at the top. But I think that she's still, like, she surprised me in the avenue that she took. You know, like, I'm not against the direction that she chose. Like, she still played a extremely pivotal role in the presence of women in the rap industry. You know, I think that she's done a lot, but it's little lyrics like "No Grammy, still a goat though" that just feel a little bit above, like a little bit beneath Nicki. Like,
yeah,
we know that you're great in your own right. It's when you try to take over that lane, like all the lanes. Like, no, Nicki, without a Grammy, there are many ways that we would argue that you are not the goat. Like, I'm sorry, but like you are okay in this other lane over here that is completely valid. And that's the way that I want her history to be respected, in that without her, there would not be, I don't think, space for a lot of the women in rap that there are now. There was just such a critical bridge that we talked about, like that Nicki really filled, and the span of time where like everything was coming up Nicki. Like, she had every feature. She was the top name, because there wasn't much competition. When there became competition is when I sort of felt that falter a bit. But yeah, I don't want to tear her down for sure. She's definitely very, very, very important. But yeah, I'll leave it there. I'll leave it there I'll leave it there. Sorry.
No. I think you made a lot of good points. Let's go to you, Devin. How you feel about Nicki?
I think very similar to my like opinions on Megan. Like, I feel like she really did serve as a very pivotal bridge between generations. Mm-hmm. Like being able to hold the mantle in the way that she did for the amount of time that she did allowed for a lot of other people to come in and be able to continue to rise and achieve new heights. On the flip side, when I look at like her awards and nominations, she almost seems like the second best in everything. Mm. And it's like, like she was close. Yeah, she was close. But like, it almost feels like and the way I look at this, if I'm being real, like Lauryn Hill is like, if I'm looking at top rappers, I put Lauryn Hill as number one. And then I could put Nicki as like a number two, number three, and I would rotate the hell out of that the entire time. Like, she would never just be number two. And I don't think that's her fault. But like I said, I do think that, like you said, with her having no competition, it did allow for her to be herself, which allowed for her to continue to help the future generation define what the hell they wanted to be, which is why we have so many other rappers that we could talk about now. I was just, I wrote a list out earlier of like other rappers and people that I was hearing about, look, just doing research online. And it's like, there are a lot of new female rappers out here that are doing really good things that I, like you, we've all mentioned, have probably would not be there without the Nicki Minaj's of the world or without the Lil Kim's and everyone else from back in the day. But they're still with Nicki, like it always feels like second best. It always feels like no matter what, we always going to get her, like we going to get like that 85 to 90% effort, but we ain't never going to get that 100% from her. Like even in the early days, like we said, it seemed very, very like her career, the her approach to music, her approach to lyric and writing seemed very consistent the entire time. So I would kind of like Kat mentioned, like never disrespect her because, again, she did serve as a very important piece of hip hop, but as the second best, in my opinion, as the third best, in my opinion. And I don't ever see slotting her up, you know, for me.
Okay. That's fair. I think I want to come back and say that I think for Nicki, the same way that I said I was really proud of City Girls for keeping their image together and not feeling like a launching pad for just one, I could see Nicki's overall image, like as a 80-year-old woman, not necessarily having been her rap career. Kind of like Latifah, when people are like, wait, she used to rap? I'm like, what?
What do you mean? She used to rap?
Right, like, this did not start at Living Single. Like, what do you mean? So
yeah,
the way I see Nicki is a little bit more like an artist, like more as a complete artist. And like, there's still a little bit of like, maybe she was a theater kid in me, you know, when I look at her overall career. And I say that because I see Nicki in cartoons. And like when I was growing up, it was definitely a thing to see like R&B artists and other folks like in cartoons and on TV. But I think Nicki's voice is so versatile that she does that so well, even just spitting her own lyrics.
Yeah.
When she's just rapping, that it was easy for her to make that jump. And she does have that background in artistry that like I'm really excited to see how she continues to evolve, because I do think that's something she leaned into well. She's retired more than once, I think, that she's like, all right, I'm out of this. But she's still contributing. She's still contributing in other ways, like an Angry Birds movie, an Ice Age movie, or something else. Yeah. She's like really out here just producing as an artist. And yes, I think that's where I have a broader respect for Nicki. As long as she continues to evolve and keep in her space how she sees fit in a way that embodies her art, I think that she'll continue to grow. Like, will she ever get into that number one spot or knock Lauryn Hill out in my heart? Probably not. But overall, as an artist, I think she can continue to remain relevant and continue to keep the respect of folks in a broader, you know, less like following of Twitter, you know, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Here's how I feel about Nicki Minaj.
Let us know.
Now, personally, just like music aside, just like Nicki Minaj as a character, I'm not too fond of, like, just outside of the music, I'm not too fond of like how she portrays herself to us. She said a lot of obnoxious things. We don't even have to mention who she's married to or her family. Yeah. And like all of that aside, like there's even been the way that she's like talked to and about like the other artists in the game now. Like we can go into a whole episode about the beefs Nicki Minaj has had specifically with other female artists, her peers. And I do think a lot of that, at least specifically the Remy beef and the Cardi beef, came with the fact that when she got in the game, there wasn't a lot of competition for her to compete with. So she was making all these songs talking about, yo, all these rappers is my sons. And she's talking about the men too, but like the female rappers is like, well, I mean, there aren't that many that are really trying to be as successful or achieving the successes you. And then Remy got out of jail And then Cardi came in and it's like, oh, it's actually some people out here who who doing something.
Yep.
And it seemed like she felt threatened. And so then all of the kind of petty stuff that surrounded Nicki started. Yep. And that's how a lot of that stuff happened.
It's like a changing of the guard in a way. Like,
yeah,
that's why I really look at her as that bridge. But like, I feel like being that bridge means that unfortunately you have to reach back and pull people forward ahead of you, in front of
you.
But you got to be humble enough to know what it is that you're doing for the culture, for the for your generation, and knowing also what you're trying to get rid of, which is that unnecessarily competing when we don't really need to compete. We can share and all eat right here. But instead, we out here crabs in a barrel, pulling all of us, all the other ones down around us at the same time.
But isn't that sort of how Nicki came into the game? Like, didn't she feel like she came? Didn't it feel like she came into the spotlight by like directly attacking Lil' Kim, who was fine in her retirement, minding her business, and was like, "Let me come dust off a couple things because why are you coming for me?" Like
I was at home,
right? Like,
I'm
like Betty Crocker. Yeah, I agree. Like, I was trying to look at Nicki like as a whole, but there's a lot to look past for sure. Like, you are absolutely right in that regard. And some of those statements were very broad reaching when there was no one else to be competing with.
But like, it's all of that is disappointing to me because when she came in, like, there's that like Dirty Money freestyle that she did when she was just like on the streets, just like rapping, doing a freestyle. And that was a freestyle where it was like, yo, she can really rap. And then that was also the one where like Remy Ma thought she sent a shot because she was saying something about Queen of Rap or whatever. Mm-hmm. Lil' Kim was like, she's not like talking about who came before her or paying homage. But like, she released that and then she got some buzz with some mixtapes. Her Beam Me Up Scotty mixtape is probably my favorite project of her, period, including the albums. But then she had that monster verse on Kanye's My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. The monster verse was career defining moment for her.
Yeah.
Like, she came in and was like, I'm going to out rap every single person on this song. And you're going to start talking about whether I am the best rapper. Like, she hadn't even put out a debut album. But she watched Jay-Z, Rick Ross, Kanye on their own song. And we was like, yo, Nicki got something. The problem is, I don't think she's rapped as good as she has on Monster since Monster. Like, I haven't heard a Nicki verse where I was like, yo, this is one of the best verses I've ever heard. I don't think I've heard that since Monster.
Yeah.
Like, she immediately went the pop route when she dropped her album. Singing about starships, and she's doing all of this singing in general. It's like, where is the Nicki that was out rapping Jay-Z in his prime? Like, I want that Nicki on an album. But, and I'm not saying she hasn't like released any like, you know, rap songs. She has. She's been doing some good rapping, but it's not what I expected. I expected more. I was like, when you come in so hard like that, I expect you to like first album at least to give me like some bangers, like some best Nicki Minaj verses. And I didn't get it. I got a lot of pop Katy Perry like music. And I was like, what is this? And then she did that for like three more albums. And at that point I'm like, and then you include all the personal stuff. And I'm like, I don't think I like you anymore.
as a human, I'm not a fan.
Yeah. So that's how I feel about Nicki. While everything we said, I respect how, you know, she brought hip hop back to the mainstream for female rappers at that time. And I love what you said about how she took up space there and held that space there enough time for more artists to be able to come in and like do what she was doing. Like, that's priceless what she did for women in hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, musically, I just didn't feel like she did enough to warrant everything else. So that was rough for me on Nicki. It was just like, if she dropped an album tomorrow, I don't think I would be super excited.
I mean, and that's why I was, and even as I was like reflecting on like listening to Kat, but then also reflecting on what I was saying, she gonna have to come out of my top three in general. Like, I think if we're gonna really talk about where Nicki would fall. Based on today's artists included, like not even considering the fact that they may not have as much content. Because yeah. I feel like a lot, like Chica, for example, I feel like is one of them that is dope as hell and is going to continue to be dope as hell, continue to do stuff. She's doing movie soundtracks. She's doing actual like, you know, TV shows. Like, so it's, I know it's her route is going to be bigger and she's going to continue to develop lyrically in a way that Nicki didn't and won't. You know what I mean? We've seen already, unfortunately, that she hasn't. So I can understand why you dislike, why the dislike.
I wanted so much more from her, you know, and she didn't really deliver.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
Because what she has given the game is important enough that it's like, all right, that's fine. We'll look past this.
Yeah, I wish that the mainstream world knew Nicki Minaj for the reasons that she should be known for.
Like, yeah,
like she's more broadly known for some of her pop hits. When
yep,
like
and her controversies,
and exactly, and her in the media, and that kind of feels to me, this is a poor comparison. I'm gonna make it anyway. It kind of makes me feel like when people are like, oh, yeah, I love NDIRE. I Am Not My Hair is my favorite. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, that's not even the best. When people are like, oh, my gosh, I love Nicki Minaj. Like, I'm like,
yeah,
sure you do.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think that it's a perfect example of the both and. Like, she made a very important commitment, contribution to the space. But, and.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of questionable situations that led to her being able to hold the top for as long as she did.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's talk about Cardi. I love Cardi B because she took a completely different route into the game, falling into hip hop through reality TV. You know, she was on Love & Hip Hop for like a couple of seasons. She released some singles here and there. No movement really, nothing crazy. But then she released Bodak Yellow and everything changed. Everything changed. She released that song and like women everywhere was like, yes. They were like, we bow. Like this is now yours. Like, yep, take it. And she was gangsta. She was hood. She was fly and she was authentic. She was the people's champ. Like Cardi came in and was like, yes, go Cardi, do what you got to do. She started racking up so many accolades, winning Grammys that Nicki couldn't win, doing numbers that Nicki's never done. Like Nicki's never had a solo number one song. Like the two number ones she had was with 6ix9ine and Doja Cat. Like they weren't just like a solo song.
Mm-hmm.
And like the thing about all the success Nicki was having when she was on her rise is that no competition thing. She was able to do these crazy numbers when like nobody else was really competing. But then Cardi came in and she's surpassing everything Nicki did number wise. She's breaking records that Nicki might have set or that Nicki couldn't reach. Like Cardi's out here breaking Lauryn Hill records. Like
that's
crazy numbers. She's the first female rapper to get a diamond song, like over 10 million units. And then she got two more though. She got three diamond songs. I think Bodak is diamond. I Like It. And then that Maroon 5 song. That's like the fact that that Maroon 5 song is diamond is all Cardi. Ain't no Maroon 5 song going diamond unless it was like songs about Jane type Maroon 5. Like no new Maroon 5 song is going diamond. So like,
right.
She's a spectacle to watch, and I think we've all just kind of been waiting with bated breath for her second album because we were like, we just want to see if the magic is still there because, like, what we're witnessing is so damn special. It's, like, hard to believe that it can keep going, but it's just like I want you to, like, keep succeeding because, one, I mentioned, like, just how authentic of a person she is and how she's been helping all the other artists in the game, and I just think that – I think that's dope. But yeah, Cardi B, how do you all feel about her?
Yo, it's the personality for me, man. Like as you
were saying,
I think there's all those other pieces of it too, but she really brings her personality out in her music. I feel even though we know that there are times where she's using ghostwriters, like I feel like there's still a lot of Cardi that you need to really make those words come to life and really make songs come to life. And, you know, I was looking it up earlier too. I think Be Careful With Me, I think, was written by Lauryn Hill or producer. Lauryn Hill has some involvement in that and apparently won an award as a result. And I'm like, yeah, but like, could Lauryn Hill definitely could have sung that song and won an award. Don't get me wrong. But Cardi really made that song what it was and made it that playful kind of, you know, bop based on how she was able to still attack her verse. But then also when it came to the chorus, it was a little bit more playful. You saw her voice kind of change. And that's what I even was mentioning earlier with Bia. Like, Bia's got that soft voice thing, but like, yo, change it up. Like, give me something else. Yeah. Cardi was able to give me something else in that moment. And I feel like that's partly why we haven't seen another album from her. Like, I think we will. Don't get me wrong, but.
Oh, yeah, we will.
I think with the foundation that she was able to establish with her mixtape, and then her album. And then after that, for her to continue to just be a collaborator and continue to jump on tracks, and not all as a feature. Like, there have been a couple of these songs that have been legit her and someone else's song where they are literally splitting this, you know, 50-50. And, you know, those are the types of things I enjoy seeing, because back in the day, it was always feature.
Yeah.
Which means you were only getting a certain amount of money, which means you were only getting a certain amount of clout when it came to me searching for this on Apple Music, like, or searching for it on any type of domain. Like, those things really give that song a lot of power and a lot of play. And it's like, this song is going to get views, whether they look up Cardi B or whether they look up, you know, anybody else that's on the track. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's so many songs that she's been able to benefit herself and others by taking that route, that just like Isaiah Rashad, just like, you know, some of the other people, I don't know if we'll see another album from her for a little bit. And I think it's okay. Like, I think she's still doing her thing, being a workhorse, essentially. If we, you know, shout out TOTB annual awards.
Yeah. What about you, Catherine?
Again, just another artist that I have so much respect for. You know, like, although Cardi only has one album, like, I still don't feel like I'm ever at a loss for, like, oh, I wonder what she's doing, you know? Like, she's still out here. And, like, the approach that she has taken of having so many singles or features or collaborative songs since then, I think, is another one that reminds me a lot of Nicki. I mean, I'm sorry. Woo! Megan. Pardon me. Run that back. Reminds me a lot of Megan. Like, it's a very strategic approach to the game. And, and I'm not going to speak too much to something that I don't know too much about, but I do see that there's, like, when there was beef between Cardi and Nicki, I feel like both of them, like, regardless of how that ended, I think both of them left that with the resolve to do better by other women in the industry. And I think that is what made it fire, because Motorsport could have been the start and end of it all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know? Very true. And it wasn't. And I've seen Cardi evolve in so many ways since that, and really stake her claim early and often that she is doing something different, that she is going to carve this lane out for herself, like, in her personal life, in her music. And I love it. I love all of the ways that she has found a way to the top. I really feel like I know it's not this simple, but to oversimplify it, I feel like she sat down with somebody and was like, all right, so how do I be the greatest? And they were like, you got to figure out a way to do this, this, and this. She's like, bet. Like, any possible way to do those things. I just feel like she's been given some sort of, like, guidebook. And she's like, I know how to get to the top, because there's not a single avenue where I feel like, for example, the way I felt about Nicki, in that, like, the way that mainstream America knows Nicki is not the Nicki that I want mainstream America to know. I don't feel that way with Cardi. I feel like she's been very strategic in how she has presented herself, that every community is going to have her as a staple within it without her necessarily having to compromise who she is. Like, I love that she casually uses Spanglish throughout her rap. I love that she says that she'll speak money in both languages. Like, don't try to play about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love that she didn't have to compromise. She didn't go jumping on whack tracks, you know, when she decided to do her work in English and Spanish. You know, she was partnering with folks that were just as fire as she was. And that is what I have so much respect for. Like, Cardi is a really, really great artist, and she is so strategic in her work that she never really leaves her fans wanting more. She's always going to be relevant at a festival. She's always going to be relevant, you know, to make a tour. And she doesn't, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm excited and waiting, like you said, with bated breath for another album from her. But she's giving me enough content that as a fan, I'm not disappointed in the meantime. Like, I'm constantly finding reason to root for her. Which is how, and again, that she differs from somebody who holds the same category as her, but it can be very hard to root for Nicki Minaj in the ways that Cardi can sometimes make it very easy in the whole branding of authenticity, right? Like, people love to say that they're authentic, but I think that in Cardi's music, it shows up that she's the same in a lot of her different features in the same way that, what was it, the Oscars? That Megan Thee Stallion was out here doing a remix to Bruno.
Oh, yeah. Like, we don't talk about it. I was so surprised to see her walk out.
She brought fire to Bruno. When Cardi is doing these features, she is still bringing Cardi to a Maroon 5 song. Where she's not compromising, in my opinion, who she is or that brand of authenticity just because she's featuring on different types of music. And I love Cardi and the way that she has decided to stake her spot in this industry, because I don't think it's going anywhere. I think it's definitely going to be one that stands the test of time. It's not one I'm going to feel bad in 10 years when I come back to listen to this.
Yeah. And I think seeing her release singles like WAP and Up post her debut album, it was like, okay, she still got the juice. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Like,
don't make me get back in there. Here's a little.
Yeah. It's like, okay, like you, okay, this ain't a one-time thing. Like, when she comes back and drops her sophomore album, which I think we could see it this year, I think we could see it next year. Like, when she comes back and drops it, it's going to be huge. It's going to do crazy numbers. It will probably do bigger numbers than Invasion of Privacy. Like, she's, I think she's here to stay. And like, the people have shown that we'll welcome you. Like, stay as long as you like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cause like, every song on Invasion of Privacy went hard in a different way. Like, when we were deciding how we were going to do this episode, I felt that some of these artists would be at a disadvantage for having only one studio album or one, you know, mixtape that's in the mainstream. But if I had to just judge Cardi off of Invasion of Privacy, she still is in this rank all by herself.
Yeah.
And I can't say that for a lot of these other artists if I'm just judging one of their albums, let alone their first one. Because Invasion of Privacy knocked everybody out of the spot. Like, I didn't even know to follow things like How Fast a Song Goes Gold or, you know, Platinum. And I mean, that's another thing that's so beautiful about Cardi B. Like, when I was on social media, she taught me how to be a fan of hers. She posted her own stats. Look at this sneaker I just broke. Look at how nobody's done this before me. She groomed her.
That personality.
Yeah, she groomed her to be like, you will clap for me. Here's how.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Thank you, Cardi. I will clap.
That's a really good point. She really was out here like, yo, I just broke this record. Here's what it is. Thank you. Thank me.
Don't forget who it is.
That's dope. Okay, those are the five artists. Did y'all have any other points you wanted to hit?
No, I mean, I think outside of that, I wanted to shout out some folks, but just like other artists that I feel like are like on their way or people that I've really enjoyed listening to. I think I already mentioned Chica being one of them. Like young and emerging.
She's amazing.
And I know I sent you some of her music, but Dochi, if you haven't heard of Dochi just signed with Top Dog ENT just recently. She was also featured on Isaiah Rashad's The House is Burning recently.
Yeah.
That was like her first little opening, I feel. And then after that, I stumbled on her as somebody that Apple Music really highlighted in, you know, one of their weekly highlights. And if you get a chance, just her, Dochi is, I think, one of those people that will definitely be on the rise. She just released a music video too.
Nice.
We've already shouted out Bia. I think outside of that, Rico Nasty is another one that I've gone back and forth on Rico only because she falls outside of hip hop in a way that I am not familiar with, which is a little bit more rock slash punk focused.
Yeah, yeah.
More screamer, you know, uh-huh. type music. And it's like, it's cool, but some of that stuff I don't always get down with. But she does do a lot of stuff where she will mix that with hip hop. And I'm like, okay, now I can get down.
Yeah.
So like Rico Nasty is definitely somebody else. I've already mentioned Doja Cat. I don't want to talk too much more about Doja Cat. I think, like I said, I didn't realize she was on her third studio album, though. I didn't realize she had made it that far. Like, I thought she was still in, like, her mixtape phase. But her most recent album, definitely a bop. I definitely will play that one for a while.
Yeah.
And apparently it was, like, second on the charts for, like, 3 weeks in a row, which I thought was
Oh, yeah. She's been doing numbers with Planet Her. Yeah,
exactly. The next two are the ones I'm more familiar with. Lil Sims, which I know we've talked about. Didn't realize she had been another one, I feel like, kind of like Bia in the industry for like 10 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Never really able to break that glass, I think, you know, and really break out, which would technically put her in around the same time as Nicki Minaj, like being at her top. But like, you know, I think it was her. Lil Sims brought a different element. You know, she just came with a different direction.
Listen to her Gray album.
Yes, yes.
That Gray album is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
One I found out about today was Latto. I don't know if you've heard much about Latto. She used to go by Mulatto.
Yeah, she changed her name, yeah.
But we were listening to a song with her, Lil Wayne, and Childish Gambino called Sunshine earlier. Bro, I was like, okay, Latto, you got me. Like, I definitely, like, and it feels very similar to, like, Megan. Like, she's just doing an ATL version of what Megan is doing in Houston.
Yep.
This is ATL music. This is who I am, and this is how it has influenced my life. Same thing as Megan, I feel like, in Houston.
Yeah, she's got a big following. I think an even bigger following since she changed her name. Like, she almost got like pressured into changing her name, to be honest. But yeah, she's really dope. She can flow, and she just released a project last week, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
777.
Yep, that's the album.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, I definitely recommend that one. Last two, Coi Leray and Saweetie. I think we've heard Saweetie a lot.
Oh, Saweetie, yeah.
That's one of my favorites. Coi Leray is one I'm not super familiar with, though. I'll be honest. I've heard her on some things, but Saweetie, I know. I definitely was like, yeah, that's a name I definitely know. And then other than that, we touched on everybody else. So I've appreciated this topic. This was a nice topic, especially to be able to reflect on and like think deeply and intentionally about the women in hip hop and like how.
Yeah.
Really plays how their influence has really started to begun, but then also started to play into like what it is today, which is totally new, totally different. Everybody's trying something that kind of fits into whatever their bucket is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Last thoughts, Catherine?
I've really appreciated this opportunity to be on the show, but also to talk about this with y'all. Like I really do. I love talking about people. I love talking about music with people that really have a love for like the broader picture and for like the history. Like I love talking about what is going to make history now. I think that's really exciting. And I'm really excited to be a part of this in a time where I can be really excited and proud of the female rappers in the industry. And that wasn't always a time like, I'm always still just like, yes, like I want this mainstream space, but it's really exciting to see that there's so much to look forward to and there's so much to be proud of with the collaborations and the ways that women are lifting as they climb right now. And that just feels so dope. And I was really nervous to bring this topic, but I think that there's so much respect that I have for y'all, like for you and Devin, but also like for the topic that I'm really glad that we were able to explore it the way that we were, because even, you know, boiling it down to those five names was really tough. But I think that talking about how each of them influenced that broader picture and like how the things that we're going to look back on as history making moments now are so important. And I'm just really grateful for this opportunity to explore this candidly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So thank you for having us.
Awesome. Thank you both for coming on to the podcast one last time, bringing this awesome topic. I'm very happy that hip hop is shifting in the way that like we are able to see women thrive at the top of hip hop. Like women are topping the charts like every day, uplifting newer female artists. I love that that collaboration and that support has become a key way that women are kind of moving in the genre of hip hop. I think that's really dope. So I'm glad that they're not going anywhere and that they're, you know, showing most of these men up. I think that's really dope. So thank you all again for stopping through. This has been Thinking Outside the Boombox, your number one source for hip hop and R&B news. I will be back next week with the Grammy episode. The Grammys are airing tomorrow on CBS. I had to dust off my predictions. I don't even remember what I voted for, but I have to dust those off and see if I can get a positive percentage picking the winner. So I'll be back next week with that episode. But I'll see you all then. Peace.
Peace.
See ya.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.